This podcast is brought to you by the Village of Bedford Park, your home for business. Over 450 businesses strong and growing with a safe, reliable Lake Michigan water supply. Visit VOBPbiz.com and bring your business home to the Village of Bedford Park.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Now, the WBBM Noon Business Hour.
WBBM News Time, 12:05. It's great to have you with us for the Friday edition of the Noon Business Hour. As another trading week gets ready to wrap up, I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. We've got fog early this afternoon and mostly cloudy conditions, a high 44. Right now it's 39 degrees. The wind chill index is 32.
The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. Let's begin with a check of the markets at Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco and Chris, we are deep in the red today. The Dow sinking 440 points or 1.75%. The benchmark down to 24,156. NASDAQ losing 1.5% or 111 points down to 69.69. And the S&P is lower by 40 points or 1.5%. The Bloomberg WBBM Chicago Index lower by almost 1%. Some weak economic data from China is stoking fears of an economic slowdown, and that is overshadowing some positive news on trade and spending. China says it is rolling back tariffs on cars and car parts. And U.S. retail sales topped forecasts for November. October's numbers were revised higher. A Bloomberg survey of economists says the Federal Reserve will slow the pace of interest rate hikes next year. They see just two moves in March and September amid forecasts for slower economic growth. Back to you, Cisco and Chris.
Thanks, Elisa. On today's Noon Business Hour, we're going to take a look at one of the many reports that we have today, retail sales. And Facebook says that a bug affecting up to 6.8 million users exposed pictures that they hadn't shared.
It's Entrepreneur Friday. We'll talk with a Bronzeville woman who found out there were some things her kids needed, and she couldn't find out where they were, and so she decided to make them herself. She's now selling them, becoming a successful entrepreneur. Great story. We'll share that with you. Also, an airline wants to reward you for skipping Christmas. All of that and loads more on today's Noon Business Hour.
The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Well, Facebook says a bug exposed photos of almost 7 million users using third-party apps. We're going to cover that in our next segment. Right now, the report on retail sales for November is out, and there are signs that China's economy is slowing down. We welcome Paul Nolte, portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Paul. The U.S. is reporting higher retail sales. China missed expectations, and it's blaming the trade war. What's going on?
Oh, and that's really it. I mean, when you take a look around the world right now, the U.S. continues to be really the king of the hill, if you will, as far as economic data. We're seeing slowing in Europe. Brexit's having an impact there. China is slowing. And they've been slowing for a while, but certainly the tariffs have put additional pressure on at this point. And the U.S. continues to bump along reasonably well. It's slowed down from the first half. A very quick path, but we're nowhere near a recession. We're probably growing at the 2.5% or so for the last half of the year.
What's the back?
We're gonna be fine.
What's the backstory there? Why?
Why
it seems the U.S. is doing well and we're starting to not hear as much about a recession?
Well, I mean, you know, we got the tax cut that has helped boost some spending. We're seeing it in the retail sales numbers. Consumers remain pretty confident. The employment numbers remain very low. Wages are growing at a better than inflation rate. So actually consumers are putting money in their pocket. So you've got all of those as backdrops to a decent U.S. economy. And we don't have as many of the struggles as many of the other countries do. Tariffs are certainly the cloud on the horizon, and that's part of the reason why the equity markets are reacting negatively here.
How important is it that consumers get that money, put it in their pocket, but then fairly quickly take it out of their pocket and spend it somewhere?
Well, I mean, it is important. If you take a look at the consumer's balance sheet, the balance sheet is actually one of their strongest we've seen in a long time. The amount of equity that consumers have right now is very high. So it's actually been a very good help. It continues to help our economy. So the consumer still has been 70% or so of the economy and continues to do that. And certainly with the retail sales numbers, that was a very good number today.
Let's talk about China. What is going on with this China situation? From an investment standpoint, what are some concerns as this trade battle back and forth seems to linger?
Well, the concern is that there doesn't seem to be a very cohesive effort on both sides. China has moved a little bit on some of the agricultural and some of the autos. The U.S. is saying not quite enough. And we've got four different players in the United States that are all talking different stories about the trade, from Trump to Lighthizer to Kudlow and so on. So it's difficult to assess really where we're at in the negotiation process. And now we have set a hard deadline of March to get something wrapped up. And unless we hear something, it's another day closer to that deadline. That has investors spooked a bit.
And now that we see a lot of signs that the Chinese economy is slowing, do investors expect that will actually mean maybe both sides will get something done at the table? You don't want that economy to slow. On the other hand, that may actually speed up some sort of a resolution.
No, absolutely. We hope that that's the case. But remember, too, China's kind of playing the long game here. Xi is in power for the next 10, 15 years or so. And we keep changing political parties in power every 2 years, presidential every four. So they have a lot more, a longer time horizon and willing to wait us out a little bit and put a little bit of additional pressure on us. That said, I think it does help, and it's certainly part of the reason I think that we've seen some movement on their side, at least with the agriculture and auto tariffs reduced.
We've also seen personal arguments between leaders of these two countries. How is that affecting the picture?
You know, it's affecting the picture because we've never seen it before. That's just never been part of the political backdrop that we've ever experienced. That may have gone on in the past, but it's never been out in the public view as much as we see it today. So we're getting a full dose of that, if you will. But I think that is impacting certainly sentiment. We do take a look at the markets when those comments come out, and the markets are affected. We see the markets move fairly dramatically, 0.5%, 1% on comments that things are getting better, they're deteriorating, whatever the case may be. We're seeing it show up in the markets as those comments come out.
So what kind of advice do you give to an investor, given all of these situations with the volatility, uncertainty in China and some other trade deals? Are earnings sustainable? There's a lot of things going on.
Oh, there are. And we've seen the market now come back about 10% from the peak, really just a couple months ago. So we're sitting on a little bit more in cash. We're sitting on a little bit more in short-term bonds. We're picking points in the equity markets. We're a little bit more on the value side, which means a little bit away from technology, which has done very well the last 5-6 years. So we're playing a little bit more cautious game. We're not in any rush to hurry up and invest. If you take a look at the markets today, if you had bought bonds at the beginning part of the year, you're actually ahead of the market. Cash is actually beating both bonds and stocks so far this year. I think that will continue for some time until we get a resolution or at least better resolution of the trade tariffs discussion. Until then, I think the volatility is going to be with us for a while.
Thanks, Paul. As always, good insight. Paul Nolte, portfolio manager at Kingsview Asset Management here in Chicago. Up next, millions of Facebook users may have had photos they didn't share seen by app developers.
Money Talks, as the WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
A bug affecting more than 6.5 million Facebook users may have exposed their photos. Joining us on the International Auto's Orland Park business line, Sarah Fryer, technology reporter at Bloomberg, based in San Francisco. Sarah, bring us up to date on this. What exactly went down?
Well, Facebook users are probably feeling a bit of deja vu today because this is just the latest in a string of breaches the network has talked about. In this case, when Facebook users give permissions to outside developers access to their photos, usually that developer just gets access to the photos that they post on their Facebook timeline. But in this case, it provided access to photos beyond that, photos they may have posted in Facebook Stories or on Marketplace or in their drafts, that even photos that they didn't even post to the social network but got uploaded. So this is a bug that was in place for a few days in September, affecting up to 6.8 million users, and up to 1,500 apps were involved. It's just the latest in a string of incidents.
So other than being annoyed because there's pictures out there that you don't want out there, is there anything an app developer can do with these photos in any way they can be used improperly?
Well, there aren't a lot of details from Facebook on whether a developer actually took advantage of this bug during that time, and also, you know, who was affected, right? Users are going to get notified in their Facebook app whether they were affected, but they haven't told us anything geographically or what kinds of apps were given access. The one big thing for Facebook here is this is actually going to cause them to come under close scrutiny by their privacy regulator, the Irish Data Protection Commission. They've launched this inquiry into Facebook and all of the various privacy lapses the company has had this year.
And this is a bug, correct? This isn't like someone was intentionally trying to mess with things in order to break into there.
Right. This is not like, so there was another breach in September where 14 million people were affected by a bug. This is a situation where Facebook noticed that there was a bug in their code for what they were giving developers access to. They gave access to more than they meant to. So they haven't told us if it actually did affect a developer.
Do we see customers break away when something like this happens?
You know, I've heard so many instances of people deciding to stop using Facebook because they just don't trust the company anymore. But overall, globally, the user growth is still occurring. There is still adding more people around the world to use Facebook. So, it's one of those applications that has become so central to how people live their lives that even when people are frustrated with the company, they still check in.
What's the worst thing that could happen to me if I was infected?
Well, if you were one of the people who had these photos accessed, it could mean that somebody that you didn't want to have access to that photo would have access to it. I would say that generally people aren't posting photos to Facebook that would get them in huge amounts of trouble, that they wouldn't, upload something to Facebook that would be super compromising. So this is not as bad as if, say, there was a bug that affected what you were sending in Facebook Messenger, which is more private.
Yeah, I mean, Snapchat too, right?
Yeah. Snapchat, things that are between you and another person, those kinds of photos are not affected here. But still, you don't want to be surprised by who's getting access to your data. And you don't want to have that breach of trust with something that you trust to hold a lot of your personal information.
Sounds like the only way to protect yourself is to not put photos on Facebook.
Or anywhere on the internet. I mean, Facebook is always having to talk to us about these breaches because they're under a lot of scrutiny right now. But hacks happen all the time. The best thing you can do is make sure that you have used some security tools around your account. There's something called two-factor authentication where you can have it ping your cell phone number in order to log in every time you log in. But that kind of thing doesn't protect you from these bugs that these apps have or breaches that they're exposed to. So you just have to be vigilant.
Sarah, thanks for joining us today. Sarah Fryer, technology reporter at Bloomberg in San Francisco. Still ahead on the Entrepreneur Friday segment, a product from a local company gets the Oprah seal of approval.
WBBM News Time, 12:25, a check of the markets from Bloomberg. Here's Elisa Parenti.
Cisco, we are deep in the red today. The Dow falling 430 points, or 1.75%. NASDAQ lower by 107, or 1.5%. S&P retreating 40 points. And the Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is losing almost 1%. Now let's check in with Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal. Pete?
We've had mixed prices here today. Corn's been down 1 to up 3 at the moment. March corn up 1.75 at 386. Soybeans have been down 6 to up 3 at the moment. January beans 903.5, down 3.5, and wheat's been down 5 to up 1.5. July wheat at the moment down 3.5 at 544. mixed grain prices for the day. And this is Pete Manhart at Bates Commodities in Normal.
Thank you, Pete. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, I'm Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
This is Chicago's all-news station, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
WBBM News Time, 1230. Good afternoon. I'm Cisco Cotto.
And I'm Chris Kreidel. These are the top stories on News Radio WBBM.
Stocks are lower on this final day of the trading week. We'll see what's moving the markets.
Entrepreneur Friday, we meet the Chicago businesswoman behind a hat that lets you see and be seen.
Numbers on retail sales for November are out. They show Americans were eager to buy furniture and electronics ahead of the holidays.
Traveling on Christmas could earn you an extra flight awards bonus. We'll tell you in a moment.
Defense attorneys try to convince a judge to overturn the murder and battery convictions of Chicago police officer Jason Van Dyke.
Wall Street right now, the Dow down 413, the NASDAQ off 109, S&P 500 down by 40.
40 degrees in Chicagoland now, headed to a high of 44. Some clouds throughout today, but sunshine in store for Saturday and Sunday for that Bears game. The Noon Business Hour is presented by the Village of Bedford Park. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 402 points. We'll get to that in just a moment. Some analysis on exactly what's going on the markets today. But if you travel on Christmas and cross the international dateline, well, you could end up missing Christmas. That may not be totally a bad thing, though, to talk about that. Ken Goldstein joining us, president of KJG International Consulting here in Chicago. Ken, why could it be a good thing that we would miss Christmas on an airplane?
Well, it's not necessarily a thing that you would miss Christmas. Look at it the other way. If you travel the opposite direction and you get additional mileage from the airlines, you can celebrate Christmas in two places. So you got to look positive at this because of the holiday season. I think the point here that we need to remember is that there are some last-minute special deals that you could find, not only internationally and with United, like airlines like United throwing additional mileage in for their international flights, but also other carriers like Emirates, maybe American, a few others, and domestically as well. So the point here is the passenger who's looking to fly needs to look carefully, study the things, take a few good websites, Skyscanner, Kayak, Low Fares, all those, and take a look and see what's available for Christmas Day.
And some of these routes are the eastern part of the globe, Singapore and New Zealand and Chengdu.
Yes, well, the Chengdu is China. And part of it is, I think, United, in this particular instance, is trying to build up some passenger volume to these places. They saw maybe a drop-off, and they want to increase. Plus, they want to market these areas. So, yeah, I'd take a look at it. These are interesting places. And, again, you might be able to celebrate Christmas in two places.
How about in general? How are we doing buying tickets this year?
Well, the market, and these are the numbers, not only from the airlines themselves, but the TSA and everything, they're looking at to be some record-breaking periods. Airfares are still at a lower level overall than they've been in the past, and people are flying. The economy is still good in spite of, unfortunately, the market tanking and everything else, but it's not a bad time to fly and take advantage of whatever benefit package, low fare you can get.
So this isn't very costly for United. It seems like something where they really get the good press of being able to offer a gift to some of
That's
their flyers,
right.
But it's just miles.
Yeah, it's right. The miles that they're getting, they get the good press saying, hey, look at what we've done. At the same time, they might build up more traffic in the areas and start to fill up some planes. Remember, the minute a plane takes off, that's a lost asset, so you want to fill as many seats as possible.
Thanks for joining us, Ken Goldstein, president of KJG International Consulting here in Chicago.
And the news hour continues, the business hour continues. Markets are slumping today, and we are joined by Chuck Lieberman, chief investment officer at Advisors Capital Management in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour, Chuck. What are you seeing on the markets today?
Thanks, Chris. So, well, the markets are obviously very soft. There was some weaker news overnight in Asia and in Europe, and that's just adding to general concerns that the U.S. economy might weaken significantly.
So, and what's causing this?
Well, there are a lot of things going on, and there's a lot of fear in the marketplace. So The bears are pointing out things like the housing market has weakened, that there's a weakness potentially going to come in the consumer sector because of weaker housing, slower economic growth. The Fed has raised interest rates, hurting car sales. So, you know, it's a compounding effect. People are nervous, and the fact that the market goes down just makes them that much more nervous. And in that environment, you know, people sell.
And China has reported in its own economy ugly economic data because of the trade wars. So that's another stone for the U.S.
Well, there are a lot of them. Obviously, the political scene is a mess. There's stories about the Mueller investigation of President Trump that's sort of ongoing and never ending. We've had deals with people like Michael Cohen and various other people. So the backdrop is very negative. In the meantime, the economy continues to chug along. We continue to see job growth that's pretty solid. And the way it's covered is sort of misleading. So last month, for example, it was mentioned that job growth was only 155,000, a significant slowdown, part of the slowdown that potentially leads to recession. 155,000 is still roughly double the rate of growth of the workforce. So that puts more downward pressure on the unemployment rate, puts more upward pressure on labor costs. All of those are positive things for the economy. Nonetheless, it's easy to put a negative spin on things.
When you have this sort of volatility, how difficult is it to truly know that it's something going on with China, or it's some sort of a data point or some sort of a tweet from the White House that is driving what's going on the markets? I mean, are there times where it's just, for example, on a day like today, more people wanting to pull money out than put money in?
Yeah, well, that's the real bottom line, Cisco. But, of course, it's all driven by a whole host of things, and so it's very difficult to point to any one thing in particular as the force that's driving it. I think it's the confluence of all of these events. And in the context of economic growth being a little slower, that's actually desirable, not undesirable, but you can, again, present that in a negative sort of way. And in the meantime, the corporate sector seems to be doing well. Profits are rising at a pretty good clip. So valuations in the stock market are actually falling. I wrote a piece that Bloomberg published yesterday basically pointing out that market valuations are at recession type of levels. The stock market is actually cheap, but right now people don't care.
Chuck, thanks for joining us today, as always. Chuck Lieberman, Chief Investment Officer at Advisors Capital Management in Ridgewood, New Jersey. Up next, Entrepreneur Friday, a return guest who has seen her company grow quite a bit since appearing here on the Noon Business Hour 4 years ago.
Information to make cash and save cash. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
It's Entrepreneur Friday here on the Noon Business Hour. This afternoon, we're checking in with Raquel Graham Creighton, the founder and CEO of Rock Innovation here in Chicago. She first joined us in 2014. She's now gotten a major celebrity boost for a product that she launched a year ago. We welcome you back to the program, Raquel. Before we get into headlights, we want to hear about that and the celebrity push for this. For people who don't remember hearing from you in 2014, kind of give us a thumbnail sketch of what got you started as an entrepreneur.
Sure. Thanks for having me back. I created a product called Next. And I created it for my kids. They were younger, and during the polar vortex, they did not want to wear scarves. So they didn't like the fact that it was bulky and itchy, and, you know, you had to wrap it around their neck for them to stay warm. So I created an alternative, because when I went online to look, I couldn't find anything. So Next is an adjustable neck warmer that doesn't go over the head, and it can adjust to be worn loose or snug, depending on the weather and your comfort level.
And that just took off, and now you also have something called Headlights. Tell us about Headlights. What is it, and how's it going, and what big push did you get from a pretty big celebrity?
Headlights is doing great. I just launched it last November during Black Friday. It's a knit hat that has a removable, rechargeable light. It's very thin and light, and you can charge it in your computer or in any USB port. All right. I recently just landed on the O-list for Oprah.
Congratulations on that. Tell us about during this push that you made in your career, and now you've got these great things that you have made. Did you ever want to give up at any point?
Well, you know, the only reason that I would have given up would have been in the beginning because of finance. You know, you never really have enough money, or you know, when you first get started, you think you need this much and you really need five times more. But luckily for me, I was able to get the support from friends and family, and I stuck in there, and I'm so glad that I did because it's going fantastic.
What would you say to a young entrepreneur right now who's trying to do things that you've done?
I would definitely say to jump in with both feet. You can't give up. It takes a while. Everyone told me that it would take longer than you think, and it did, because I thought it would take off right away. And I guess when people hear my story, it is pretty quick, but it just takes a lot of persistence and perseverance and creativity, and to definitely try it. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Are you thinking of another product besides?
Oh, my gosh. I have
a lot of
20.
Them, right?
Yes. I'm launching three more in the Q1 of next year.
So getting on the O list, that's kind of a big deal. Talk about what that's been like.
It's a huge deal. It actually, I thought it hit newsstands today, but it actually, I just got an email. It hits on the 18th, but it is online, and the orders have already been pouring in. So the timing is really great because it's, you know, obviously holiday and still before Christmas. And it's the best boost ever.
And that's going to, I guess, probably help you down the line, too, as you take some of these other ideas in your head. If you have more notoriety
Absolutely.
Now, it's going to help you move forward.
Right.
You said
right.
That.
Right. And I am on Home Shopping Network as well. And the amount of units that I move per show is unbelievable.
You said there were.
We outpaced ourselves five times this year.
You said there were three other products that are coming,
yes.
coming online. What are they?
Well, they're proprietary, but I will say that they're in different categories, kitchen, transport, and self-care. So I'm, you know, all of my ideas are inspired from my life. If there's a frustration or a void that I feel, that's pretty much how I come up with my ideas. They're all really inspired by my frustrations. So,
yeah, well, there's a lot of other mom and dads that deal with the same thing, right? I mean, that's what you were.
Yes,
you were a mom
exactly.
who was frustrated, and you really made something happen. What kind of advice would you give to other moms and dads listening, saying, hey, there's something in my mind that I think might work?
You know, that's actually the best inspiration, because you know that it's a problem. And the odds are, if it's a problem, you would search to see if there was a solution. And if you can't find one, then there isn't one. So for me, I just created, because I've always been a tinkerer and I love products. So, you know, once I did next, you know, I'm a natural marketer. That's kind of what my background was. So when I develop a product, I know how I'm going to market it. My learning curve has been how to produce it. But so far, so good. And that's pretty much my inspiration all along.
The last time we talked to you was about 4 years ago. If we talk to you 4 years from now, what are we going to find?
Oh, wow. You're going to find a very big brand that has a lot of very successful products that are ingenious products that people will always say, my God, I can't believe that I didn't think of that. That's pretty much what everyone says about my products. They're basic, but they solve everyday problems. The goal is to make life easier, and I think that's why they resonate. You know, they're things that people can really relate to, and they can all use, and they can enjoy, and the entire family can use them, and there's not a huge learning curve, but it just makes your life easier.
Yeah, it's the way to win. Just make people's lives easier. Thank you, Raquel. Good to talk to you again. Raquel Graham Creighton, founder and CEO of Rock Innovation here in Chicago. She's our Friday entrepreneur. Still to come, a look at how major retailers fared in November.
Making sense of your dollars. The WBBM Noon Business Hour continues.
Retail numbers are out for the last month. Let's focus on a few high-profile companies. Joining us on the International Autos Orland Park business line is Jan Rogers Niffen, CEO at J. Rogers Niffen Worldwide in New York. Welcome back to the Noon Business Hour. Jan, can you explain the status of Sears right now?
Well, I can't explain the status of Sears right now. It's clear that Eddie Lampert is trying to make a transaction that will allow him to keep at least part of the business open and sell off some of the stores, but nothing is to the point right now of knowing exactly what's going to happen. I think the least that happens is we close this couple of hundred or more stores, and that they continue operating at some level for a while. But it's going to be really tough in the next year, even if they get something done that keeps them operating for a while, because it's just going to get progressively more difficult and more expensive to operate.
So what's the future?
The future is what I've been saying for the last 10 years. Eventually, Sears goes away for all practical purposes. Even if we keep the name around and we run an online business or something goes on, most all of the stores will go away. And actually, most of the stores are already have gone away.
Now, it has some brands that still have value. It sold some of them. But does the Sears brand still have the same value as say, something like Craftsman or Kenmore or something like that?
No, I think the brands and the ones they sold, like Craftsman, for instance, those had real value, and they had a little less value when they finally got around to vending them off than they had prior to that. But I think the Sears name itself has very little IP value. Somebody will take it and operate it just like they're going to operate Bon-Ton, right? But no, I don't think there's any real substantial value in the Sears itself name. I think the brand is too damaged.
And there's a chance, really, that a lot of their properties are going to end up becoming apartments and that sort of thing, as we hear that some of those big box sort of old school retailers are now becoming residential.
You know, I was at a mall just the other day that used to have three anchors, Sears, Bon-Ton, and Penney's. Now they're down to one that'll soon be gone. And so you're seeing that in the various struggling malls, and there'll be some reconfiguration to use those boxes for something. They probably won't all get bulldozed. But there'll be a real significant change in a lot of the lower-end malls as people like Penny's and Sears are exiting more and more malls.
We're seeing earnings at Costco today, and the shares are down by more than 6% because of competition. What do you see there?
Well, first of all, the market's down by a little over 2%, I think. So they're just sort of riding the market, and they also got beat up a little bit because despite they had great sales, people didn't like how much they brought to the bottom line, even though they actually only missed by a penny. But what we're seeing is they're doing more business online. It's expensive to do business online relative to selling out of the store. And so the earnings number's not quite as good. We're also seeing Walmart be very competitive in grocery, which is putting a little downward pressure on everybody's grocery business. But in general, I always say Costco is the greatest retailer in the world. I still believe that. How many are running 8 or 9% store-for-store sales, which they are? And yes, it's a little more expensive to operate in today's world. But if anybody's going to do this well, I'm betting on Costco.
Okay. Anyone else doing it right?
Oh, I think this last time when we saw numbers come out, it was really hard to say that Walmart wasn't really great. Target put out a really good number. Nordstrom's put out a pretty strong business, and Macy's put out a really good number. And those are all the old traditional guys. But when you looked at their numbers, what happened? Walmart was up 40% online. Target was up 40% online. I mean, the business still all went online. But at least the brick-and-mortar guys are really playing in that right now. And that's part of the problem. You get this great boost in sales, which the street wants you to do, except it costs you a little more to do them because they're online and nobody will pay for delivery to their houses. And so you've got this kind of push-pull. You try to get more sales, but it costs you a little more to do them. And they have to do that. Otherwise, they have to give it up to Amazon. Nobody wants to do that. So, yeah, it's just going to be a little more expensive to operate in the environment. But at least the consumer's great. Top lines are great. Sales are good. And they are making money. They're just not bringing quite as much to the bottom as the street would like to see.
Jan, thanks as always for the analysis. Jan Rogers Niffin, CEO of J. Rogers Niffin Worldwide. Bloomberg checks the markets on a day when they are falling. That's next.
WBBM News Time, 12:55. Taking a look now at the markets, sponsored by Baird. And here is Elisa Peretti.
Chris, no relief from the selling on Wall Street. The Dow is sinking 446 points, or almost 2%. We have tumbled back to 24,150. NASDAQ down 117 points, falling through the 7,000 level, now at 6,953, down 1.75%, and the S&P is lower by 42. The Wintrust WBBM Chicago Index from Bloomberg is also in the red, down almost 1%. CBS is giving $20 million in grants to groups that work work to prevent harassment in the workplace following the ouster of CEO Les Moonves. The money will go to 18 groups, including the National Women's Law Center and the Women's Media Center. And K-Swiss is developing a line of shoes for video game athletes in partnership with esports organization Immortals. It says a model called the Grandmaster will be easy to kick off without taking your hands off the controls for more comfort during long matches. With business at 25 and 55, live from Bloomberg, Elisa Parenti, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
WBBM and HD Chicago, WCFS-FM and HD1 Elmwood Park, Chicago.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.